We're continuing our series. This is probably year 10, I think. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word. This works today. And I don't know what that is. Thank you, Lord Jesus, did this last time. Amen. I'm not sure what's happening with that. I forgot to check it out and figure out what's going on. What I was going to show was just the reminder or what cultivating is. And again, to cultivate means to promote the growth. Amen. The development. There you go. And improvement of. To devote time and thought. To assist the growth of, to improve or develop by careful attention, training, and study. Amen. I hope that your desire for the Word of God is growing. I hope, since this teaching has gone forth, I hope that you're hearing Him clearer. Even in the midst of trying times, or especially in the midst of trying times. I hope that a longing for the Word of God is growing within you. Glory be to God. The second word we kicked out was develop, which means to bring out the capabilities or possibilities of what? Of longing for His Word, craving His Word, desiring His Word. Bring to a more advanced or effective state. Maybe you have some desire for His Word, but we want to advance that so that it is more effective, if you will, to cause to grow and become more mature. Our love for the Word of God ought to mature. It ought to age like fine wine. It gets better with time. Amen. So, we're continuing our series on that, and cultivating an intense desire. Having said all that, we arrived last week at our foundation text. Let's go back there to our foundation text. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Why are you doing on chapter 4? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Okay. So just, we did get that up. So so you can see that again. Again, cultivate, promote the growth, development, and improvement of. This is really important as that's the word that was chosen for this series was cultivate. That implies a process. That implies careful attention. That means you're in the Word. You're in the Word with intentionality, with purpose, with deliberation, and not because it's duty. That's why I told you many times, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I want us to read the Bible with intentionality. I'm not big on just daily plan or just Bible reading, just general Bible reading. I'm not a big fan of it, per se, because I know that when I was told that year after year after year, I would read the Bible and kind of get it out of the way. Like, okay, did my daily reading, did that, let me move on. But when we're talking about reading or listening to, and then studying, meditating with the purpose of understanding it so that all that you can do it, ultimately give God glory, then just reading it through like that is not going to get, that's going to get it done. When you are reading it to understand it through study and meditation, then it takes out the, like, duty, like, you know, I done ticked this box. I don't ever want you to approach it like that. Hey, I want you to approach it with, I'm starving, I need to eat. I need this for my very existence as a spiritual child of God. This is my necessary food. Mm-hmm. This is my life. These are the batteries to a toy or gasoline to a car. This is water to a person who's been in the desert for 7 hours straight. That's as a deer pants for the water brooks. So my soul long and pants for you. That's what we want to get to that point. And that's how you promote the growth of and the development of. That's what this series is designed to do. To promote the growth of, to get you to thinking about it. To get you to ask yourself, do I crave the word of God like that? And if I'm nowhere near that, then you know what? Show me how to get on that road. And that's what this whole series is about. That's why we went through loving the word and all of those things we went on even before we got to the foundation text. Understanding that this should be a daily way of life. As a way of routine and things you do over and over and over and over again. That it must be done with deliberation and purpose. And that's why we talk about devoting time and thought. Time and thought to develop by careful attention. And I know we go over ad nauseum, but I'm going to do it again. Especially getting I thank God for the feedback that I get because of the word of God says you should share it with your teacher the things that the Lord is doing. So that encourages me. But hearing things from you all, especially in the last month or so, where the light has come on. I think we've been teaching for several years. The light has just come on. And people are starting to get certain things. That's very encouraging for me. Because I know that I repeat a lot. But it's on purpose. It's by design. Because the bottom line is, for you to get it, for us to get it, and to understand it. So I'm hoping that that's what's happening here with this right here. Okay, having said that, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1 through 3. Again, the foundation step. We did begin this, I think, last week, here we go, repetition. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander, like newborn babies, here's a command, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. What's going to cause you to grow? What's the it? The word. It's going to cause you to grow. I mean, just that alone, if you're truly a child of God, you're not going to grow. If you really are a child of God, I would like to think that you want to grow. Mm-hmm. I mean, just this part and parcel, as part of the salvation package, is a desire to please Him more, to walk closer with Him, to learn more about Him, to walk more in love. To walk more in holiness, faith, trusting Him more, learning of Him more. And so that longing for ought to be there, that you may grow, understanding that we may grow in respect to salvation since we've tasted the kindness and the goodness and graciousness of the Lord. Verse 1 again, Therefore, we talked about that. It means you got to go backwards. Therefore, or in view of the fact, and refers to go back to verse 22. I don't know if we start that or not, but go back to chapter 1, verse 22. Chapter 1, verse 22. So Peter is saying, therefore, or in view of the fact that, verse 22, he says, since you have an obedience to the truth, which is the word, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, because you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. First thing is, because in view of the fact that the word of God produced in you the new birth, caused you to be born again, and is the source of your salvation, he is saying, then go back to verse 1, therefore, then put aside sin. He's saying, therefore, since the word produced in you and in us salvation, and is a source of salvation, it caused us to be born again. In view of that fact that we're now new creatures in Christ Jesus, put aside all malice and all. You see how that fits? I'm a new creation. I'm born again. The word caused me to be saved. And since I understand that, and in view of those facts, put aside malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy and slander. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Well, we're not through with the in view of the fact that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from childhood, Paul speaking to Timothy, you have known the sacred writings, which is the word, which is able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In view of the fact, and just repeating and reiterating yet through another scripture, that this word produced in you salvation, led you to the wisdom that led to salvation, or caused you to be born again. See, what the Holy Spirit is doing for us is, in view of the, if you have a clear view of the Word of God, of the value of the Word of God, the Word of God, unfortunately, is losing its value. It's losing its place of preeminence. It's no longer being honored like it should be. And that's waning. Hopefully not here. But what Peter is saying by the Holy Spirit is, hey, look back at this word. Look what it did for you. It is the word that caused you to be born again. There's no human being. This miracle known as salvation was brought about through God's word. What an honor that word. Live a holy life. Here he is, Apostle Paul reminding Timothy. He said, and that from a childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Remember that word, Timothy. Mm-hmm. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. In the exercise of his will, we did go over this last week, that's fine, you did it again. He brought us forth by the word of truth. How clear is that? That's enough to just jump and run and shout for the rest of your life. Because in the exercise of his will, and you know that will was determined before the foundation of the world, he decided to bring us forth. And he decided that the agent that he would use to bring us forth would be the word of truth. Father, help us to give the word the honor, the respect, the dignity, the love, the esteem, the preeminence that it deserves in Jesus' name. He says, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. So he's saying, let's go back to 1 Peter. He's saying, in view of the fact that this word brought you forth, gave you a new life, produce salvation, cause you to be born again. Now, not only that, not only did the word do that, but the word is eternal. This word that brought us forth, caused us to be born again, that is the source of our salvation, is an eternal word. It endures forever, forever. Look at, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. We read verse 22, 23. For you have been born again, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. So the second aspect of this word is that it is imperishable, it is forever, and it is eternal. Imperishable means not subject to decay in essence or nature. And someone even added, or in continuance. It's not subject to decay in essence, in nature, or in continuance. Does not deteriorate, degenerate, or decline. Wow, that's the word of God. It is not subject to decay in essence, nature, or continuance. Does not deteriorate, degenerate, or decline. That's good news. Let's see if I can get that up here. Okay. Okay, that's really small. Yeah. Okay. Oh, don't need that big. All right. So it does not, it's not subject to decay in essence, in nature, or in continuance, does not deteriorate and does not degenerate or decline. The word of God, if you think about food, if you think about people, if you think about bodies, they do all, they break down, food decays, becomes rotten, and spoil, your teeth go south, your eyes go south, your body goes south. You know, but the word of God does not, it's not subject to that. It is imperishable. Thank you, Lord. That is through the living and enduring word of God. So first, the word of God saves us. It is the source of our salvation, the source of us being born again. Secondly, it is an eternal word, an eternal word. Look at verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, flowers fall off. We just take some here. But the word of the Lord endures forever. He got that. That's quoted from Isaiah 40:8. And then he rounds up by saying, and this is the word which was preached to you. That's what you're hearing. And I'm telling you, and this is that word that's being preached to you in 2021. A word that is imperishable, that endures forever. Flowers fade, grass fades, people folk fade and decay, food grows south. He said, but this word of the Lord endures forever, and make no mistake about it, and this is that word that's being preached to you. Amen. Glory be to God. Now slide on down to verse 1. So in view of the fact that though this word produced and caused you to be born again, or produced salvation and new life in you. In other words, it imparted divine life into you by the word that is eternal. Put aside all this other stuff. Now, you know we're going to define put aside. Some say lay aside, put aside. The word is apothetē, you didn't worry about that. But it means to lay aside, let me see if I can, lay aside, to rid oneself of, to put away. Okay. To lay aside, to rid oneself of, to put away, and to separate oneself from. I like to over-define it. To cease / to stop doing what one is accustomed to do. And then it's eros in the Greek, once and for all. You look at the testimonies of Sister Rolanda and Sister April about their trials, and in the middle of the Lord speaking to them, because we are accustomed to thinking a certain way, saying a certain way. And what the Lord is saying with us, hey, you're my child. You've been born again by an enduring and abiding word. That's not what you're to do now. I know you've been accustomed to doing that, but you need to stop that. You need to cease and to desist in your maneuvers. Let's put it aside. Apo, away from. Tithe me, lay it down. So lay it aside. Walk away from it. Separate yourself from it. And this is to be done once for all. It's not you keep doing it. No, you do it. Put down malice and all those things we're going to name. Put it down once and for all. Be done with it. Walk away from it. I love this here because it makes you think. It makes you stop and think. To stop doing what one is accustomed to do. What do I normally do in this situation? And usually it's going to be a flesh-ruled answer. And that's what we don't want. We don't want our flesh to rule us like it normally does when we are felt we're disrespected, or we felt that, you know, we're being mistreated, or when just things just go wrong in your life. You want to be able to hear the voice of God and put these things aside once and for all. Speaking of putting things aside, look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to land on this just for a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. I love it. I'm telling you to turn here and turn here. you have a Bible, whether it be on your phone, I don't care what it's on, but you're able to see it, and in some cases to see it and hear it. I mean, that's you don't realize, because if you've gone here, this is the only church you've gone to for the most part, we don't realize how blessed we are, because this is what's fading in churches by the thousands.
Yes, we do.
Is eyeballing the word, teaching the word, and expositing the word.
Awesome. Teaching ministries.
if you think about it, the reason that this is not happening, meaning the exposition of the word of God, like it once did, is because the ministries have lost faith and trust in the word of God. And they think it needs some other things. It's no longer relevant. It's old fashioned. It don't do what it once did. Ain't nobody trying to hear that no more. I mean, literally, the attributes of God aren't being taught hardly because they're too rough. All we want to talk about is his love. We don't want to hear anything about holiness and wrath. No, that's too much. We really don't need that now. So even though I'm thankful the Lord just stopped me. Like, I told you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, and like he stopped me, like, listen to what you just said. You're taking him to the word, word that I just told you, that this is an eternal word. This is the word that Jesus used when he quoted against the devil. The very word that you have in your lap is what Jesus used. And in particular, the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. You don't need anything. I need this one to scream out to the pastors. You don't need anything else. You don't need it. And you all, give your relative and your loved ones and the co-workers, just give them the word and move on. We're not trying to entertain. It's not about even making sure they understand. They may not understand it. It don't matter. Just give them the word and move on. We're so busy about entertainment, or there'll be a fit. If God is telling you to give a word, you better give that word. Because we'll be on you if you don't.
Yes.
And we'll be on you that you give them your opinion. Mm. Or maybe scratch their ears because they want to hear with their itching ears things that are soothing. And man, it may be like, dude, you a straight sinner. And you need Jesus. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can't be good enough to walk into heaven. There's no amount of goodness that you can perform to get yourself in heaven. The world lied to you on that, bro. And you tell them that. And we'll be underneath you. Well, you know, man, because you're all right, you know, with me, you know, because you don't want to hurt their feelings. The word is enough.
The truth.
It is the truth. And it is the only truth. Ephesians 4:21, he said, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, what have you been taught? Put off your old self. There's that word again. Put it off. Separate yourself from. Lay it aside. Who? Your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Oh my goodness. How clear is that?
Amen.
Whenever that dude start creeping his head up, you better know, first of all, that that's what's happening. Because sometimes we're too caught up in the feelings or our unsaved desires, and we really start thinking about, hey, I really want to do this, I really want to say this, and we're being sort of lulled by those desires and not realizing, wait a minute, that's my flesh waking up a little bit here. And he clearly told me that that dude is corrupt through deceitful desires. He said, put them off. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self. So like clothes, strip off, tear this off, walk away from that, and put on the new self. Uh-oh, how did you get that new self? Through the enduring and abiding word of God. Remember that? Put on new self, created after the likeness of God. Wow, that's powerful. In true righteousness and holiness. And he says it again. Therefore, there it is again, in view of the fact that you have been born again, he is saying, having put away falsehood, put it off. And let each of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So put it away. Take it off. Why? Because you're born again. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And notice how he said they're having put away falsehood. Like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. So I'm going to count that you've done that. Having put away. Not put it away. You've done that. And of course, that's a check to us. Like, have you done that? Yeah, so we need to recognize. Colossians 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Are we there? Put to death, therefore. Now, what is death? Separation, right? So it's the same concept. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Okay? Verse, am I going too fast? We good? All right, verse 7. In these, you too, look at these two words, once walked when you were living in them. Hopefully that's not now. You once walked. But now you must put them all away. Same thing again. Separate yourself from that. Lay it aside. Rid yourself of that. Put it away. Separate yourself from it. Cease. Stop doing it. And what is it you must stop doing? He said, put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Almost the same exact list what Peter has. Kind of worded differently, but the same thing. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Still talking about laying aside, putting it away, walking away from it. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud, the word therefore again, in view of the fact that from chapter 11, all of those witnesses of faith who walked in faith, since you have that, he says, let us also lay aside, there it is again, every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He said, well, I, the Holy Spirit, God Almighty through the Holy Spirit, use the writer of Hebrews to grocery lists all these saints of God who walked by faith, even unto death and torture. He said, in view of those facts, of all those people, lay aside. Let us look at their faith and check our lives, and let that encourage us to lay aside even weights, let alone straight sins. We talked about weights which are not sins. Don't get comfortable that they're not sins. We've said this ad nauseum for 20 years, basically. Well, it ain't a sin, so no big deal. Yeah, but is it a deterrent? Is it a hindrance to your walk with the Lord? Does it enhance your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it bring God glory? Or does it detract? Does it cause you to stumble? Does it cause interference with your relationship? Then it's a weight. You have to ask yourself. It could be food. It could be show, TV. It could be family members. It could be things in your mind. It could be your job. It could be money. I mean, it could be a myriad of things. What you must do, what I must do, what we must do is take Holy Ghost inventory. Let a man / woman, child of God, examine themselves. Take that introspective look. What is it inside of me that I'm maybe not aware of? That's a weight. Sin. We understand. Weights can be kind of a gray matter. And what's a weight for you may be okay for me. Or what's a weight for me may be okay for you. So you got to be careful of that too. It's you and the Lord. Lord, what is it that you are saying to me personally that is a weight for me in my life? I can't look at somebody else's life and say, well, they doing that. Because once the Lord tells you, he says, you're to lay it aside. Let's go back again. Oh. Go back again. You're to lay it aside. You're to put it away. You're to separate yourself from it. You're to cease and to stop doing it once for all. He said, lay it aside. And sin, which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I told you that clinging so closely is like trying to run a sprint in a trench coat. You know, with the belt untied as well. And they're wrapping around your legs, clinging, causing you to stumble, slowing you way down, causing you to be up off, causing you to go off course. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice before you get to verse 2, you got to go through verse 1. Verse 1 says, lay aside all this stuff, weights and sins, then look to Jesus. There's no looking to Jesus before laying aside all that, because that's too much of a distraction. The goal is become Christ-like. If the goal is, and that's the finish line, that's the mark that Apostle Paul, I believe, is speaking of when he says, I press on toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. And that is to become like Christ. That's the goal. That's our aim. That's what we're running towards. Well, weights and sins block that or hinder that or slow that down. Does that make sense? And it's the same concept in 1 Peter 2:1. It says that we must put off apothethemi, we must put off the malice and slander and whatever. And then verse 2, like a newborn baby, crave the word of God. Because that's going to block and get to interfere with your cravings for the word. Sin and weights cause you not to walk in the things of God like you ought to. Causes you not to crave the word of God. So it's the same thing. We got to get rid of the sin. We must get rid of the weights. We must separate ourselves from it. We must lay it aside. We must rid ourselves of it. We must put it away from us. Bottom line, stop doing it once for all. Then we have positioned ourselves to then look to Jesus. Before we move away from that, I've heard that so many times, and I've quoted it many, many times. But the question is, how do we look to Jesus? Because we can't see him. We can't take our physical eyes and look at a physical Jesus. So how do we look to Jesus? What does it mean to look to Jesus? Well, the word look means to turn away from looking at things that distract. So turn away your eyes from all that distract and then fix your gaze on Jesus. That means to turn your mind, your focus, and your attention. Your mind, your focus, and your attention towards Jesus. Fix them on Jesus. Okay? When we are caught up in the midst of our weights and sins, that tends to be our focus. Does that make sense? It truly distracts. He is saying, look away from all that distracts, weights and sins. Fix your gaze on Jesus. Turn your mind, your attention, your focus, your heart, your desires, all of that, and fix them on Jesus. Sound like to me, Jesus and his word are one. That means I'm in that word. Find out who he is, how he lived, follow that example. You're going to get the verse, you don't get the verse 2 unless you get to verse 1. Same thing in 1 Peter 2. You don't get the verse 2. Longing for the word unless you get to verse 1. Through verse 1. You must obey verse 1 first. And by the way, doesn't fixing your mind and your focus and your attention on Jesus sound a lot like Colossians 3 and 1? Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Set your affections, your mind. Point your mind to things above. Christ Jesus, his example, his life, his love. Well, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Look at James chapter 1 as we head back. James chapter 1, verse 21. Get ready to close. James chapter 1, verse 21. Still talking about putting away, laying aside, walking away from, putting to death, putting off the old self, all of those phrases. Verse 21 of James 1. Therefore, put away. There it is again. Yeah, I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry. I'm keeping ad nauseum. Lay aside. Rid yourself of. Put it away. Separate yourself from. Cease and stop doing once for all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And receive, look at the first thing, get rid of that, and then receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. It's the same pattern. Get rid of sin, get rid of weights, then look to Jesus, then receive the word, then long for the word. Amen. And so after all, in 1 Peter, the Holy Spirit through Peter is commanding us believers to separate ourselves from sin, to walk away from it once and for all. And we'll pick up next time with what we are to separate ourselves from, which is all malice, all deceit, which is guile, hypocrisy, and slander. We'll go over that next time in Jesus' name. Father, you're very clear in your word concerning how we can walk closer with you, how we can put ourselves in a position to have the word have a more powerful effect on our lives. And it's quite simple. Stop sinning and get rid of weights. It's just that simple. And Father, show us where we're not doing that, and yet we're still trying to get the results of verse 2. Longing for the word or looking unto Jesus. We need that direction. Because, you know, there are some of us who are really, really serious and we really want to do what's right, but we don't realize that these are weights. We don't realize, hey, well, this is a sin. Sometimes we just don't know. And, of course, some of us do, and we're just doing it anyway. Well, we ask that your wrath be shown against that as well. Why? All for your glory. We were not made for us. We don't belong to us. We were bought with a price. We were brought with a price to serve you throughout all eternity. And this will we do as we obey your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.